podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Brand new season, brand new dawn for Formula One. It's the Bahrain Grand Prix, and it's lights out and away we go.
We off the green, this for my key.
Episode of Pit Stop Fracker, and we're back, baby. 2023, we've taken a little break. Sorry that we haven't been around, but you know what, we get tired, you know, making a lot of content for the people. I am your host Mahad, and today we'll be talking all about 2023 Formula One season. You can feel the atmosphere, it's building up, you know. We're going to be in the midst of the season real soon, and we thought we'll get started now. Before we get started, though, let's just get through all the socials. Follow us on Pit Stop Fracker on Twitter. Follow us on Pit Stop Fracker on Instagram. Follow us on Pit Stop Fracker on TikTok. We've been uploading stuff throughout Christmas. And if you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify podcast, please give us a 5-star review. Give some nice comments. And if you're watching us on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Every single one of those help. So we've got some guests that we haven't seen in a while. We've got some regulars as well. Firstly, JL, welcome back. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good. I'm good. It's 2023. We go again. That's what I can say for now.
You sound like a traumatized man from last season.
Listen, we started high, then we fell back into our low, and I have no confidence that we might, next year, we might have to win a race. So, we go again.
If you guessed, he's a Ferrari fan, a resident Ferrari fan, if you just wanted to hear that spiel, it wouldn't be any
original.
The original Ferrari fan, not this other Fugazi individual that
shall not be named
Pod. But yeah, thank you for coming on, JL. Kwame, welcome back. How you doing, brother?
Okay, brother, man. Yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. You know, it's been we took the winter break, as you do. You know, we've got to recharge the batteries, got a cover. You know, F1 off season's a bit, not much really going on, but you know, I've been good, man. Right now, I'm a bit tired, I keep being honest. My leg is a bit swollen up, my calves are a bit tight, but you know, I had to come through for you know, the Pistol Fact Army unit. So, yeah, man, it's good to be back. Man. Mr. Pod, I can't lie, Mr. Pod. And you and me, brother.
I said, you. We're not running. We're not making you run around, you know. Podding don't affect your legs on it. You can just chill and yeah, you'll be all right. Don't worry about it, Guame.
I'm good, bro. I actually
messed up. Cool. Kole, King of Canada. How we doing, bro?
I'm good, man. I've been chilling. We've been chilling. Off season. It's about to be testing Hypro soon. Engine's gonna start lighting up, you know. People are gonna get excited for no reason. We're gonna make stupid predictions as well, but you know, it's still off season. It's a bit quiet, but we move. We're out here.
I've done my predictions already. I'm doing it blind this year. I don't need to see no testing, man.
I love that for you.
Cook. Yeah, but you're waiting for testing, bro. I'm gonna make you do it.
I'm not even. Testing. You know what? It is what it is.
All right. We will have Chris joining us later as well. But for now, I'll let you know what we're going to be doing today. So we're going to shine a spotlight on some of the teams that are less spoken about throughout the season, and just give them, afford them that time, give them that, you know, that special treatment, so we can go in a little deep dive on each team prior to the season and speak about what happened over the offseason as well. So the four teams are Williams, Alfa Romeo, Haas and AlphaTauri. A lot has happened over the offseason, and the guys will talk us through everything that's happened and give you a bit of insight. And if you are new to Formula One as well, and you're listening to this, this might, these next couple of pods might sway you on what team you should be supporting, you know, which one you should put your stocks in for the future, heading up to 2026 when the regulations change. Because there's a lot of exciting things happening in Formula One, and there's new teams. So we might have to do a new preview if there's some other teams added on, you get me. But first, we're going to talk about Alfa Romeo Sauber. So Alfa Romeo Sauber has had a lot of changes over the offseason. We've had a change of team principal. We've had a change of leadership. And even earlier in the summer, when it was announced that Audi's taken over and it will turn it into a works team. So a lot of change at Alfa Romeo. But JR, what is the plans and expectations over at Alfa Romeo, just in the long run and looking at last season and the first kind of steps to this new program, turning this into an Audi outfit?
I think from a Alfa Romeo perspective, it's just to continue from last season. So they finished sixth, which was their highest position in the constructors, even though when I did my research, I found out that they previously finished eighth but got more points, but that's neither here nor there. I think it's continuing that foundation. So almost, what's that, like the top tier of the middle pack. So if we count Ferrari, Red Bull and Mercedes as the top three, then the middle pack, Alfa Romeo, AlphaTauri, potentially Alpine. So I think for them, it's that continue that base, probably get more points haul, and probably try and get more from their drivers in terms of the point distribution. Because when we're looking at it, that Valtteri Bottas got like 89% of their points. So I think what they really need to see next season, beyond just that consistency, is a broader spread between their drivers. Because if you look at their race results, start of the season was, for them, relatively good. And I think they had a top five or something finish in the first few races. Second half of the season, completely fumbled. And it was Bottas and bust. So I think for them next season, it's, as I said, it's more consistency, more points, and a fairer share between their drivers in terms of points.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, especially about the drivers. This will be considered like a very sought-after seat in the future, considering Audi stepping in and the kind of finances they're bringing in. And Valtteri Bottas, he's kind of proved, look, this is his situation at the moment. He's got a long-term contract. He's not really under pressure at Sauber at the moment. But look, Joe's the answer. What's the question, man? Like, because you don't need the money now. So... And that, like you just said, that point spread was a bit nuts.
It was quite. Yes, it was. Yeah, so funny enough, Bottas has been talking a little bit about his contract situation, talking about how what he doesn't want, where he previously had it at Williams and Mercedes, whereby he was almost on like a rolling one-year contract with, as you said, he's comfortable. He's comfortably the P1 driver there. And with them becoming the Audi works team in 2026, I think he wants to firmly establish himself not only as the number one guy, but number one guy for them, for Audi going forward. Because no one knows what ideas they have, especially with the new leadership. No one can predict if they want to, you know, bring in their own P1 German driver or whatever the agenda will be. Come 2026.
I know, Chris, you've been banging that drum about a German driver stepping into Audi. Is Joe on the way out? Is it just written on the wall for 2024?
If the gap between him and Bottas remains the same, it's written on the wall. It's a very easy job to do. So it's all on, the pressure's on Joe to be like, can I make the second season step and show that I can compete with Bottas. And then it becomes a case of between the two of them, who's on the hot seat. So put it this way, they're going to want a marquee driver, whether that person's German or not. They're going to want a marquee driver in the Audi seat. So it's about these guys patterning them up and like being like, I'm that guy, I'm going to remain here.
Is Bottas not the marquee driver? No.
He's not that guy. He's not the face of
Audi. He can be the face. I don't think he can be the face of Audi.
So Kunle, famous Bottas defender. Why can he be the face of a franchise?
He cannot be the face of Audi.
He cannot be the face.
Okay. I don't think he can be the they're coming in as a works German team. You know, Germany's motorsport heritage. I'm sure they have plans for what they want, like, you know. Not just from a performance perspective. I'm sure they have like plans from a marketing perspective as to who they want to like be the face of their, you know, of the F1 team, who they want to market as the face of the F1 team. I don't think it would be Joe, because I mean marketing got to match a bit of the performance, because I don't see Joe making that step, you know. But he was 49 points to 6. That's a lot. That's almost times 8. That's almost a times 8 spread. And, you know, even if he makes the jump overnight, I don't think he's making up 40 points overnight.
Can we not say rookie tax?
No.
Eight times is a lot.
It's not even the points, it's the mistakes as well. So, like, they in essence, they're driving the same car, in essence, right? And Bottas, at certain points, had that car, challenging for 5th to 8th in some races, if memory serves me right.
He was talking to the Max, he was challenging Bottas, and that was
it. It was cooking at some point.
Yeah, and Zhao was nowhere near. And yes, you could say rookie tax, but I think some of the mistakes he made, I guess similar, because they're similar to some other drivers. He just may not be caught for this team at this level. I think he's a good driver. I think he will be compared than some others on the grid. And even look at the grid, there aren't that many marquee drivers, bar like 3 or 4. So I wouldn't be surprised if Audi's plan is okay. Which German is available? There's only 1 or 2. They're not going to bring a Mick. So
don't be surprised. Race of Champions P2 in the Race of Champions.
No, that's dead, man. He lost to a guy whose car was on fire, bro.
Champions.
He's a rally driver. You're supposed to use a rally driver.
My crazy prediction is they try and make a move for Max, Leclerc, basically Max and Leclerc. That's my crazy prediction. That they throw the bag at. Lewis is a bit, he might not be in F1 by that time anymore. I don't see George living Mercedes. Looking at the grid right now, the other only other two try to say bigger names are Max and Charles. And as much as I am a big Charles fan, he started at Sauber, which is now Alfa Romeo. So there's some history there for him. So that's my crazy prediction.
Do you know what? I think it's very... One thing that people don't really understand, yeah? I think it's very rare for top drivers to stay in their team the whole time. They always change team in the middle of their prime.
I don't think top drivers...
This fantasy world that like Max is going to be a Red Bull driver forever, or Leclerc is going to be a Ferrari driver forever, or Norris or George are going to be staying in their team forever. That don't really go down.
Yeah, you're right. I just think it won't be Max or Charles. Max will stay at Red Bull. He's got a death row contract. He wants to quit at the end of that contract. He's done. Charles,
there'll probably be some point. Oh, I've not looked at the contract. I'm sure there's like a performance contract.
There's a performance clause.
If at some point Red Bull is not giving Max a race-winning car or championship-winning car, I'm sure it could be available to a team that would want to win races.
I think he'll do it.
No, it's true, but look at Lewis, right? I didn't realise the other day he's been at Mercedes for 10 years, and I'm still today not shocked, but I have to remind myself, he started with McLaren. Like, you know, he came through their academy, right? And at the time, they probably thought him going to another team didn't seem feasible, and he did. It's been a decade. So, as Matt said, I just wouldn't be surprised if any of the top two or three drivers currently on the grid aren't an Audi driver come 2026, because one thing they're going to have is a lot of money to throw, and they're going to want someone who moves mountains.
I think that's Lando. I think it's Lando, especially with Seidel being the CEO. If McLaren aren't cooking, that's the place where...
I think there is parallels with the Mercedes move, because at that time with Hamilton, like, it was seen as a downgrade because Mercedes was much like that wasn't a team that was comparable to McLaren. And obviously, if a big driver goes to Alfa Romeo Audi right now, it's seen as a downgrade, but it's a gamble, right? You're gambling to go with a team and have that dominance there, like how Lewis Hamilton had. So a lot of drivers might be thinking that it could be Lando. Could be Leclerc. If it depends on the situation at Ferrari this year. If it's continually like messing up his strategy and messing up his chances of winning races, he could jump ship. It could be a load of different drivers, because at the end of the day, they're going to throw a bag at somebody. They're going to throw a 50 mil contract a year at somebody. Depends on who it's going to be.
One thing I'll say is, what I think they'll do right now is they'll keep Zhou, and it'll sort of be like a rolling contract until they're serious. And when they get serious, when they're ready to be serious, they're going to go out there and, like, throw the bag, basically, at someone.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage Audi have is the move isn't instant. So right now, because the Saab have got new sponsors, I think they're called Alfa Romeo F1
Steak.
Anyway. So I think it's their last year under the Alfa Romeo name. I think next year, 2024, 2025, is when they start some of the branding and stuff. But I need to double check. It wasn't clear when Audi actually stopped providing the engine. Because I don't know if it's 2026 specifically, or that's just when they become the owners of that team. So that because of that uncertainty, at least on my end, it's hard to predict if, as you said, you could have Zhou, you could try any next F2 champion for the next couple of years whilst the Audi basically work through their kinks, as Mercedes had when they first came on board again. And then come 2026, you have a well-old machine. And then, as you said, throw the bag at Norris, whoever is attainable, which will be anyone, to be honest with you.
Okay, I've got a question. Don't you think that they should have a marquee driver? Because part of what made Mercedes work was they had a Michael. Then they got a Lewis. They had the guy. So you have to think, if they're going to do this rolling contract thing, they have to have one person who they can trust to be like, you're going to be our guy. Because even Renault tried it with Daniel Ricciardo. Like, it works when you have that guy, the guy.
But we're sorry, Joe. You go on.
No, I was saying, because you're right, Chris, and I was looking at it as well, part of my research, and every top talent is tied into a long contract. Norris, I think, signed a new deal. Leclerc signed a new deal. We know what Max is on. Russell just joined, and there's still question marks about, is he ready for that top table yet? So I guess their rationale behind Zhou is, as I said at the beginning, for them, it was sixth last year, maintained sixth. If the car develops as they expect it to develop, Bottas shouldn't get any slower. Zhou should hopefully get better. That should put the team in a better position that come 2024, they as a package are even more attractive. And you know how the driver marketing can get all over the place. And then, you know, potentially upgrade Zhou for maybe a Gasly, for example's sake. Someone who is, we could all agree, is a step above him, but is not that top tier yet. So that if you then want to have that top tier person with the experience of Bottas, Gasly is easy to get rid of. versus let's say you try to get a, let's say like a Norris now, that's a very expensive decision to make now when you don't even know if the Audi works team is even going to be good.
I personally think it's either going to be Sainz or Leclerc 2024 at Audi, because it depends on what happens at Ferrari this year. It's going to be survival of the fittest out of them too. Like,
I agree.
If Sainz wins a political war, he stays at Ferrari, and then Leclerc leaves. If Leclerc just clear number one driver, then Sainz wants to be the number one driver. He can go back to his old team principal.
I can tell you now, the fact that they've hired an ex-principal from Alpha, Leclerc's number one. Like,
no matter 100%. They tried to say it weren't.
You've got to wait, because because the problem is, yeah, and it's one example I give from Brazil. You know when Brazil, they put the inters on Leclerc's car? They tried to do the same thing to Sainz, and Sainz just said no. Ferrari's Bozo, yeah, Lesor's not going to clear fix up that Bozo. The car might cook, but the Bozo's still going to be there. That's his job.
They'll be inclined to maybe listen to Leclerc more because the team principal is basically.
Leclerc had the same. If he told the man no, he said no. George went into Mercedes was badding the man up, bruv. Max bads up everyone. Bruv, you can tell these man no at times. He just doesn't have the capabilities to do it.
We're going off topic. I've got one more question for you, JL. They're now hired. Alessandro Aluni Bravi as the new team boss. They're not calling him a team principal. You've got Seidel operating as a CEO, exactly like how Zach Brown is. So the kind of rumors that he's going to be team principal, the guy's upstairs now. He's not going to be trackside. What's going on? Do you think they're smart to operate without a team principal and have this random guy that looks like a designer or something? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's quite confusing. And also, it is at the group level, so not even at the F1 team level, shall we say. So I think their sights is solely on Audi. That's pretty much it. I think they are trying to implement a structure that will be the structure going forward. And I just think that this year, boys, here's a car. Go and drive it. Don't crash it. Do well. Make us look nice to our new German overlords. And that's about it. And maybe midsummer, I'm sure they have their eyes on a few people within other teams. So if, let's say, McLaren don't do as well as expected, or or Red Bull, don't be surprised if mid-season you hear they poached one of their like top designers, one of their chief strategists. So I'm sure they have their eyes on, I think they know who they want, or it's a short list. But until these teams start racing points and on the board and not on the board, it makes that attraction better. So if you are currently at, let's say, Red Bull, any name top of my head, and you're maybe number two, number three, right? And Alfa Romeo are still doing relatively well. And that proposition with points on the board looks a lot more promising than right now, where you're like, I just don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Alfa Romeo Sauber. Exciting future. I think they're going to ruffle some feathers over the next couple of years. And we'll see what Bottas and Joe can do. The next team.
One last prediction. Oh. Alpha will be every other team on this pod right now. They will be above the rest of these guys. That's my last prediction.
So,
are you saying that for the season or long term?
Long term. This season.
For this season, they will be above Haas, Williams, and the other team are doing.
Oh, that's a given.
I went on record that I've said it. So
okay, that's fine. Because the next team we're speaking on is Williams, yeah.
That's not even a hot take, but okay.
Williams, yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't you're gonna speak to us about Williams.
What's
going on over there?
I think the most significant change that's happened at Williams is that Mr. Nicholas Latifi, of departed memory is of no more.
No, let's give him a round of applause. Hold on. TV.
Why?
You've done a great job.
What did
Three
he do?
3 years in F1.
This Make a wish.
Do you know what that is? Yeah, he's the definition of like surviving while being mediocre. Imagine you had a job, yeah, and you had a job, but you kept your job for 3 years.
You figured you made it, man.
I respect it.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a very significant change to context of what Williams as a Formula One team has been for the past few years. Also, Jos Capito left. And also the technical director FX Damonson has left as well. And you know what? Williams have gone and thrown the bag at James Vowell, formerly of Mercedes F1 AMG, and it would be leading the team going forward. In a nutshell, I don't think much would be changing. I'm not expecting much of Sargeant. I mean, the guy barely got his super license to be able to race in F1. So it's not. I mean, I guess it might be better.
He was a rookie in F2, so we have to.
He was a rookie in F2, so I feel like Williams should have done everything they could to get De Vries, to get Nick De Vries, instead of Sargeant. Why? I feel like, I felt, looking at what Albon was doing, what Russell had done in the past, the problem was that they needed a second driver that wasn't 1 minute 20 seconds behind their driver, you know. And I'm not sure Sargeant is going to be any closer to Albon than Latifi was. Nick, listen,
America's not liking this. Our American listeners are not liking what you're saying.
I'm not. Okay, you know what? This might be my ignorance because I didn't watch much of F2. But it wasn't creme de la creme in F2. Like, if you're going to come into F1 to bat it up, you need to have batted up F2.
I'll say top three driver in F2 last season.
It was?
Chris Kwame, my F2 official.
I mean, okay, I'll refer to Kwame on this. Kwame is the F2.
Kwame, go
on. Chris as well. But, yeah, so majority of the season, he was best of the rest, to be fair of him. So majority of the season, it was Drogovic ran away with it somehow, which does kind of impact the grid because my rating of Drogovic are not high.
Because we don't rate Drogovic. Right?
However, Porsches came second, and after that, it literally was Sargeant for the majority of the season. It was only in the last race in Abu Dhabi where he kind of, the pressure was there and got to him because he was going to finish the lowest. I think he's down to seventh, which he would have still got to last point anyway, just probably by 1 or 2 points because the practice sessions he did in the season kind of made up for it. So he came P4 in the end, not P3, but he was the best rookie in F2, which does, somewhat. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a world beater, but I thought it's going to be improving on Latifi.
All right. So, I mean, that's that. In terms of the overall look for the team in general, I think James Vowell has a very huge task to make Williams decent.
What is James Vowell cooking?
I don't think he's cooking much.
Because he won't even cook his strategies at Mercedes.
I don't think he's cooking much. It wasn't really doing the strategies. The strategy wasn't really strategizing, to be fair. And you know, Toto Wolff has let him go, basically because Toto and Williams have a good relationship, so I guess that's why it was easier for him to leave. Like, because usually team print, like, you don't just leave a if you're a major component of a team, you don't just go join another team as team principal on the grid like that, without like a gardening leave if your contract is not coming to an end, or like, you know, something has to give.
That's a very good point. Like,
but he's going in
that valuable to Mercedes.
Yeah, he's going in straight away. He's going in straight away, you know, ready to work with great recommendations from Toto, to be fair. You know, Toto's speaking highly of him. And That's that. So I was reading when I was like checking and seeing what was going on, I read something and the headline was like one of the major points in that piece was it's going to be a heart surgery while running a marathon to get Williams working again.
That sounds like death to me.
That sounds like a death sentence already because he's trying to fix them while trying to make them better. You have to do one thing at a time. You've got to fix, then make better. But at this point, I feel like with the money that's going to be coming into Williams, the investors are going to be looking at getting results. You know, ideally, at the end of it all, amongst the teams that we're discussing today, they will want Williams to be the best of them. That would be at least the minimal expectation for the foreseeable before they can even think of challenging for wins or podiums or, you know, right now, 6 points was bad. 6 points was not, you know, that's not a good return on about 23 races. And yeah, the standard for Sargeant is 2 points set by Latifi. If he gets three,
he needs to get a purple sector in a race.
If he can get one purple sector at any point in life, then he's done well. But to be fair, I'm not expecting much from them. I still see them probably bottom of the grid. If they beat the Haas, that is good. But you know, I just hope that at some point they don't stop. So the problem Williams have always had and they've had in recent times is they start the season and they just stop developing five races into the season.
Isn't that because they ain't got no money?
But now they got bread. They got a little bit of bread.
Do they? Because I'm seeing headlines saying they're unlikely to hit the F1 budget cut anytime soon unless they get major sponsorship.
Well,
I mean,
what are the standards?
Go on, Joe. Yeah.
So yeah, I was saying, what they brought up by the private equity firm like 2 years, 3 years ago, and weren't they promising money and development and all that spiel when they bought it from
Frank and Claire?
Yeah, and they've basically been as bad, if not worse.
It's not worse than but I mean, we'll see what it is. I mean, I don't think now this is
isn't
not
it time to sell up. Not to be controversial.
They wouldn't bring in James Vowell if they didn't have something that they had in mind.
Okay, the Rillington Capital bought this team for $200 million.
Let me say one thing. Part of the problem with the lack of investment is they probably saw Latifi in Hungary do purple, green, and then yellow and qualify last and go, what's going on? Why are we spending money? We have to think like, your car is due at the back. They've gone backwards last year. There's no point pumping in money when you've gone backwards. You just have to scrap everything and start again, which I think is the James Valve situation, where they try to start again with Capito. It's not worked. So they're starting again. But this time, not pumping as much money in because it's like...
But if you're always at, let's say, a deficit... So when race starts, they're already minus 10 seconds, or whatever it is, right? I don't see the strategy of how they're going to make, let's say, that 5 second gap to, let's say, a Haas.
Because they actually work as a Formula One team. So pit stop and strategy is all good. It's just the car. They need to build a car.
Yeah, I don't see them having Bozo strategies like Haas and AlphaTauri and stuff like
that. No, they don't.
They're actually competent. Right, they don't. When it comes to that, but the car's too slow. You can have the most elite strategy ever, but if your car is slow, man. Yeah, and if you ain't got no money, you ain't got no money.
And one last thing I'd have to say. This might be a wild take. This might have people go crazy. Brexit Twitter will not be happy with me. But I think it's time to let the name Williams go.
So that means selling the team, right?
To Andretti. Let him give him the Williams name and everyone's happy, man.
Williams is heritage, Kunle.
I know. but
racing.
I know, but like, Porsche. But a lot of things are heritage.
Porsche is there. Kunle Porsche.
Hey, brother, a lot of things are heritage, right? But you know what's heritage to a 25-year-old is not heritage to a 10-year-old. And F1 is evolving. F1 is not what F1 was when Williams were the team. And we've got to be realistic with ourselves. Like, they've not been the team for a good part of 20 years or more. You know, when was the last time? Okay, there was that.
03. So 3 years.
Yeah, like Schumacher and Montoya was the last time they were looking.
03.
Yeah, you know, the last time they won a race or they were close. The last time they won a race was Maldonado, no?
Yeah, but let's not include that, though.
Was Maldonado. Last pole position was Massa 2014.
Last podium was probably Bottas 2014.
Are we looking at the death of Williams right now?
They have two options, right? Sell up, get investment, and make the team great, or gradually year by year see the value of the team continue to decrease.
But it's increasing because F1's more valuable.
Williams as a team. Do you want to come in to take over a team that's constantly finishing P10 with 6 points?
Guys,
Chris makes a good point in terms of the value going up here, but you have to remember who bought it. The Rulerton Capital is a private investment firm. They're trying to make money for their investors, yeah? The second they get an adequate offer that is more than 200 million, they're selling that team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Naming rights or not, they don't care. This is they're about making money for them.
And actually, because it's Williams, the naming rights mean even more than, let's say, a Haas, for example's sake. So that's an extra 50 million right there. So they just need someone to write, cut them a check, 300-400 million, and they will sell it.
The name might still be there. It could be Porsche, Williams, Andretti Williams, whatever. But it's more than likely this team is just being used as a flip right now. And what Derivative Capital is doing is not very long-term. It's just about boosting value and trying to move forward. I don't think they really got the... They don't want to put that type of money in to make a serious car, if that makes sense. Because you need to put money in. You need to be hiring the right guys. Is James Vowell the right guy? I don't know. You tell me.
It might be, you know. It's been around a winning team for a bit. You know, even though his strategies are questionable, they've had some, you know, cooking strategies, courtesy of their drivers. But hey, who needs strategy when you're at the back of the grid? Anyways, like.
All right, Conley, what's your prediction for Williams last?
A prediction's PA at best.
PA at best. PA would be like great, great work.
PA,
give Val the Mercedes job if he gets PA.
PA at best, you know. We don't know what, you know. Again, let's not forget they have the Mercedes engine in their car. So, you know, if the Mercedes engine cooks, they might have some straight line advantage, you know.
They were the fastest team in the straight line and they came last of yours.
Yeah, but I mean, they had Latifi too, so.
Salute to Latifi, man.
Yeah. But yeah.
Thank you so much for running that through with us, Kunle. We'll see what happens with Williams over the season. I'm predicting last. I don't know what you're thinking, JR. Thinking last?
Last.
Chris?
So Chris hates Haas, right? So Chris thinks Haas is going to finish last.
No, I don't. I'm hoping Haas finish last, but I don't think they will. So Williams will finish last, unless they're finishing last. I don't have a technical.
It wouldn't be beyond the realm of reality and realization if they finish last, you know. Anything better than last is good work, in my opinion. But then it also depends on what other things, you know. Haas can come up with an engine that's smoking every weekend. Alfa Romeo can come up and Bottas is on madness and is you know, doing spinneroonies and bowling ball with his car every weekend. You never can tell.
Kwame, last. Do you think they're going to finish last?
I don't want to say they're going to finish. I don't want to say they'll finish last, but they'll finish last. I've all the teams in the grid. I feel like.
So the next team we're going to talk about is AlphaTauri. You don't think they're lost?
No. Nah, I feel like...
Talk to us about what's happening at AlphaTauri. A lot's happened, innit?
So I want
a lot of changes.
I want to start off by I replenish my support for this F1 team, this F1 organization.
Excuse me, what?
I'm done. I replenish. I replenish. I make up my own work. My own word. I replenish.
I was thinking, what is that? South London vernacular, you get me? What's that about?
Is that language? Is that like official language in Croydon or something?
Official, official language. Official. I give up my support.
So the man that was doing AlphaTauri stocks all year is just
I'm out of AlphaTauri. This year has been a tough year. It's been a very, very bad year. I mean, 2021. Let me start there. You were what, P6 in the constructors. So we're just behind Alpine by like 10 or 20 points. So we were competing with Alpine and McLaren before this season, and all of a sudden this season we come ninth, and Williams don't count as a team member, so we basically finished last. You basically finished last in the constructors, and every race I'm seeing bozo strategies going on. I'm seeing duct tape on cars. I'm just seeing so much dumbness with this team, like the DNA of Minardi is in the strongest team. It's too strong. But let me start properly though with AlphaTauri. I feel like we should begin the season. I had a lot of high hopes for the season, to be honest, because it's like the P6. We're not too far of Alpine and McLaren. I thought to myself, we were the best of this bunch. We were the best of the originally the best of the Haas bunch. The Alfa Romeos, the Williams, Aston Martins were best of that group. But then what's happened since is Franz Tost wasn't really a lot of the race track side, our team principal. He wasn't really there. So again, that's when your team principal is not coming to the races, that lack of leadership is not there, which kind of, I think, leads back into our strategies being over the place. Jody Eggington, the designer, poor car design this year. Especially when you see how Haas and Alfa Romeo using their Ferrari links have improved and they went up the field this year. Beginning half the season, these guys were cooking. Whilst look at AlphaTauri, like us, we were struggling at the lower back end of the grid. I mean, yeah, cool. The first race after Barcelona were decent, but after then, the development of the car was just poor. Obviously, new drivers coming in this season as well. I mean, Pierre's gone. I mean, I feel like Pierre was a big stable in the team. Since he came out for Red Bull, he's obviously got the win before Ralph Tauri as well in the Monza. 3 years in the team, you know, he's a solid stable to AlphaTauri, and he's going to be a miss. I mean, he was scoring a lot of the points as well this year and last year as well, so that's going to be a big loss for sure. I mean, to be fair with Yuki, he actually was matching Gasly this year.
Thank you for making that point.
Huh?
Thank you for making that point.
He was matching Gasly a lot of time this year, qualifying race pace, but he had a lot of issue strategy that let him down. Baku is like the perfect example. Baku hungry perfect example. Miles up in like P7, miles up in the points, and then bad strategy just called let him down and dropped him down to what, P15 in the field. So the talent is there with him. The talent is there. We all know the talent is there. Listen, Chris would be telling me Tanner's there. And it was buying Yuki coin on the pod. So the ops of the Yuki Ive, they know the talent is there. But it's just been very inconsistent and coming in bunches. And I'm scared that it's going to happen the next year. I mean, De Vries is coming in. Cool. He did have the greatest rims at Monza, but he didn't do much at the same time. Like, he qualified P12. Obviously, there was 2 DNFs in front of him. And then he just kind of coasted to go home. He got P10. So, you know, he got the points, showed that he's a steady head driver, but I'm not excited. There was rumors that, you know, they wanted Mick to come in, was looking at Corton Hurt as well to come in as well. Like, and I think that shows where the team is. There's a lot of instability. It's not stable, this team. It's very unstable at the moment. A lot in the future is in the air with, you know, Honda wanting to, you know, invest more. Honda's going to be at the car next year as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Andrea trying to look in as well to buy an F1. Avatar, you know, team owned by Red Bull as well. It's very, I know you said Haas and Williams, but Avatar, I would not be surprised if, you know, RBD Jamash as well. He died, the owner of Red Bull. So I would not be surprised if, like, the funding for the team goes down as well. So it's a very questionable time for the team. And they've got about, like, 10 different academy drivers now in F2, which is crazy. Like, you don't need Hadjer, you don't need Arasa, you don't need Lawson, you don't need Maloney, you don't need Fittipaldi, you don't need all these men in the same series either. Just have one or two guys.
Cook, man.
Have Arasa, have Hadjer, have Arasa, maybe Lawson, that's it. You don't need all the other men as well. Because it's going to be a situation where...
It's La Masia, man.
It's La Masia. Don't get me wrong. It's La Masia, it's Haylanders, Cobbins, all of that. But this season is going to be make or break now. Wait a second.
Don't slide Cobham in there, but
don't talk shit on Cobham. But yeah, this year, long story short, for Avatar's make or break, because Yuki's on the 1 year deal.
Is it make or break for everybody?
Why is it make or break
for the? Is it make or break for the drivers and the team?
And the team, yeah, because both drivers are on 1 year deal. The way the team is going, obviously, Lincoln Red Bull, Perez on 1 year deal as well. Perez is probably going to bounce. So it's going to be between obviously Yuki and De Vries for that season.
I've got a question. Sorry, Kwan. Yeah. When you say make or break, why is it make or break? Like Alpha, they've had worse drivers. They've had Brendan Hartley. They've had man that knows.
What happened to the man? Their man.
But then, like, the team's still going to exist. Like,
oh,
the team is for sale, though.
Yeah.
It's been for sale openly for a while.
Yeah, but no one's going to buy it. No one's coming in to buy it. So for as long as there's still a team that's running in F1, they're still going to try and put in the best of their young drivers there to see if they can always make the car in F1.
But if the car is mid, how do you work that out?
Yeah.
It's not just the car that's the problem. There's the strategy problem too, right?
Yeah.
You know, this happens with them like every now and then. Like, they go through a phase where they're decently good, like where they're like, you know, they have a driver that's decently good, scoring very good points, and then they just die out again. You know, Gasly's heart and soul was not in it from probably 2 years ago. He's been like done out from there, like, you know, and then he just became openly frustrated and started talking until he's got his move away. And Yuki is Yuki. So overall, I love the kid, but Yuki is Yuki, right? You know what you're going to get from Yuki. You're going to get two decent races. You're going to get three bad races. Ability to the game. It is what it is. Like, you know, yeah. I've got a bit of Yuki coin myself.
I mean,
it is what it is.
I hear you.
And some of them are not. It's four. Some of them is circumstantial. Some of them is, you know,
crashing out the pit lane in Canada.
He was cooking that race.
He was having a good race until then.
He's having a good race, and to be fair, there's actually no issue with the car with the brake issue. Still, the car has actually no time brake issues. There's reason why the car keeps. Them man keep locking up. Gasly was locking up bad this year. You keep locking up bad this year because there was an issue with the brakes.
You know,
the car was so bad it made Gasly look awful.
Like, the car was horrible.
That's the reason why they might have to make Cal Mick look bad, even though he had a good year.
The car was horrible. The car had Tyrick not tweeting about F1 for a bit.
Bro,
that's how bad it was. It broke Tyrick, man. And if you know Tyrick don't break easy, but it broke Tyrick.
But yeah, so,
my question is, what are we expecting Guave this season? Does it, if usually it's like if Red Bull are good and that Honda engine is popping, they usually go the same direction.
That's the issue.
But last year that wasn't the case.
That's been the issue because this year they decided to do completely left field. So obviously, you know, we all know Avatar, Red Bull, same company, have the same parts this year. They were in a completely different direction in the car, so you can see how their car was. They were different. So,
do you think it's part of trying to make themselves more sellable to show that we're no longer Red Bull's?
I don't think it's the team. I mean, that's one thing. So, like I said, they changed the chain name, so they came in from a junior team to sister team and all that. But like a big issue was like the front axle. No, it's like, yeah, just the car design has just been completely different this year, which is a big issue. I don't feel like they're trying to make it more marketable, because to be more marketable is you have to win races. That's how you're marketable in F1. That's how you sell a car. So they took a gamble, took a risk, and it didn't pay off. But I don't think, I just felt like they were trying to distance themselves. I feel like there's been maybe a structure in Red Bull where you go this way, you go that way kind of thing, and try to make it more two distinct teams. But I don't think that's the way to go, because look at Ferrari. Look at how close their relationship is with Haas. They got Simone Resta, who was at Ferrari, and now he's dropped down to Haas, for example. Alfa Romeo as well, their cars have all been very, very similar. It doesn't make no sense when you've got Adrian Newey there, you've got the aerodynamics of the car being phenomenal, the facilities there, while you decided just to go left now. I get, yeah, cool, you're based in Fienzo, you're based in Milton Keynes, it's different, but it didn't make any sense. And it's actually mad how we were better when we had James Key earlier than we have Jody at this moment, and it's scary. Like, I've seen worse with that team when they had a man like Brahim Yagoshari, them man, but yeah, it's not good. I don't want to expect a team. I don't want to expect.
You don't know.
Last season, I thought there would be fighting the Alpine and McLaren. Obviously, this year they tailed off massively. So this year I thought they'd be in a mix with the Alfa Romeo and Haas. That's where I see them. But even that's a disappointment from where they were.
Yeah. Before we close off on AlphaTauri, what's your big prediction for that team this year? Whether it be driver moves, where they be, or what position they finish, whatever. What's your big prediction?
I'll back the coin, I'll back the agenda, man. So the Vries ain't gonna be there next year. I don't think.
God damn.
Put my Yuki coin out there, man. Yuki Red Bull, man. Screw it.
Yuki Red Bull.
Yuki Red Bull.
Jason Perez.
Shameless, man. Shameless, but yeah, screw it. Screw it.
If that happened, you'll never hear the end of this from me, man.
Screw it, man. Let me be hopeful with this coin.
Let me clarify this. You're saying De Vries to the streets.
No, De Vries one, I'm actually being semi-genuine.
De Vries is hitting the streets, yeah.
Because of how many academy drivers there are, you've got Arrasa, you've got Hadja, them two are going to cook this year. Them two, like, they're going to cook. Yeah. I think them guys are going to compete for the F2 title. Arrasa had a very good second half of the season. I like Russ a lot, but he's very inconsistent. But I thought towards the end, that inconsistency patched up, and he's got the racecraft, and I feel like he could take it for a Yuki left. Hadja as well, F3, he was cooking as well this year. Probably, even though he only finished P4, he's probably the best driver in the field like this year as well, to be honest. Better than Martin as well. Him and Behrman, I know Chris is doing his face, him and Behrman, yeah, head in the head, but yes, he's a hot
talent. Great boy from Barbados, isn't it? Yeah.
But Maloney.
Maloney, you know.
Maloney's there as well. Ferrari's there. So there's too many young drivers where, and both of them, Perez, Yuki, and De Vries, all 1 year deal. So someone's leaving. If all three leave, I wouldn't be surprised.
Man said it's X Factor over there.
Literally, X Factor. Britain's got talent.
Alright, cool.
Britain's got talent. It's literally the buzzer, they hit the buzzer. You're through, you're out, you make the judges' houses. It's gonna be musical chairs. The old Red Bull's gonna be back, man, because they've been too stable in the past, what, three seasons?
I said they've been too stable,
so they need someone getting kicked out halfway through the season.
Musical chairs, yeah,
all right,
it can be chaos.
You need chaos. Thank you so much on that. We'll see what AlphaTauri do, we'll see what happens in the future. The last team we're going to speak about is Haas.
Actually,
Haas are an interesting team.
So,
go on.
I'm about to say, I wouldn't, Franz Tost as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a bad season. I wouldn't be surprised if he retires or leaves either.
Oh, wow.
He's been there for a while. The safest job in F1.
But, hey, Lewis doesn't know who he is. Lewis doesn't even know how he is. So, that's, you know, he's doing a good job.
He has a safe job. No one, there's no threats of him getting fired. No one's looking to sign him out of there. He's just chilling, collecting money and going home.
He looked after Vettel, Sainz, Verstappen, Kvyat got promotions.
He's got equity, man.
Too many of those kids have gone to Red Bull, and like some of them have cooked and stuff, or gone to other teams and they've cooked. He's like, you know what? This guy, judge of talent, he's clear, and able to like develop these men, he's clear. So it's
he's got talent,
that equity in that sense.
And I've also heard he's good about management skills as well. When it comes to the car, though, yeah, like the car designs, yeah, they've always been mid-table for a reason. But like you said, Chris, he's got good talent ID, but let's move on.
Let's move on. Last team's Haas. Chris has kindly volunteered to speak about Haas today. And this is strange because it's known that Chris actually hates Haas. So, first of all, the first question straight out of the block is, what's your problem with Gunter Steiner?
See, I thought, part of me, I don't even know how you guys let me get away with claiming Haas for this episode. But my issue with Gunter, do you know what it is? It's the lying and the lack of improvement as in certain aspects of being a manager, where like you're blaming others for things that are partially your fault as well. So it's like his whole like we don't do rookies thing is like that's the only way you're going to get a star driver. Like there's no other reason for you to go to Haas if you're a driver that's levels. There's nothing there. They don't have like true mechanics, just engineers like that are just working on the car. Like there's no reason for anyone to go to Haas. So him doing up all this big talk, and then the moment someone who comes with a bigger brand than him, than his brand that he's made on Draft to Survive, came along, man started rubbishing, man. It's a bit spooky.
This sounds personal. Is this regarding a certain driver of yours called Mick Schumacher that's no longer a Formula One?
Yeah, but
if that didn't happen, would you have an agenda?
Yes, because the car, because that team is awful. But that's there's a part two to the agenda as well. Because
can you look distinguish at the man and the car?
Pardon?
But can you not distinguish Gunter the man and Gunter the team principal and Haas? Because this sounds very, you dislike the man himself.
Because they go hand in hand. Because you as a supervisor man and your supervisor, like what you're doing, go hand in hand. Because it's like interpersonal relationships. That like, all jokes aside, Corner is a slimy man, but we know he's the best at the job because he's a slimy man. Like Gunter Steiner likes to talk straight to people's faces and stuff, and normally that's quite good. But when you're dealing with kids and younger drivers, that's not how you build them up. Like, I get you want to set a fire under someone, but sometimes you have to read the room and go, saying some things worked, some other stuff distressed your driver. Like, Crofty even said it. He was in the Haas like motorhome, and Gunter was slagging off Mick when Mick was right round the corner. And it's like, everyone looked at man just like going, what are you doing? And it's that kind of thing was like...
Is it daycare or Formula One? That's the question.
When you're dealing with a young driver, it's a bit of both. Because look at Franz Tost. Franz Tost took Yuki from Milton Keynes to Italy to be like, no, this is not working. We need to manage you. We need to make sure you're in the gym. You're speaking with the engineers. You're understanding what it means to be a Formula One driver. You have to do a bit of both. And that's what he's not getting. You have to have a bit of balance, a bit of both to get the best out of these guys. Because... yeah, that's where things go wrong.
They just weren't good enough.
That could be the case.
See, the thing is, in the case of Nikita Mazepin, it was clear that he was not to the standard. Yeah? And we all saw that. And with Mick, we saw he made improvements, but the team and the car situation got worse. And replacing Mick is fine. And putting Hülkenberg is fine. But the way it was done... was not all right.
I think it sort of goes into the last question, but do you think Mick would have stayed in any of that team longer than a year based off his rookie season performance that he had for Haas?
Well, his rookie season didn't really count. His rookie season is like George Russell's rookie season. You just stuck at the back, you just beat your teammate. And then the second season, you don't realize that George Russell got 0 points his second season for Williams. It was only that Mercedes drive that propelled him to, let's say, for the wider public to actually rate man. In Williams, he got 0 points and he bottled it in Imola.
Yeah, he stuck for low. Behind the straight line, behind the safety car, no?
Safety car, yeah. He stuck with low. So it was like, it was a real Bozo moment. And that's what, that's the thing what I'm trying to say, was like, when you look a bit closer, you can see maybe there's a good driver in there and so on and so forth. But it's like, what can you do when, you know, drivers are not, they spend a year driving around the back and they're not fighting other drivers and they're not used to wheel-to-wheel combat and the pressure of wheel-to-wheel combat? Because Franz Toss even said it takes 3 years to become a Formula One driver.
Fair enough. I've given you your Mick therapy.
Okay, session. Yeah, but that's, let's move on, because there's actually
let's
more.
Let's talk about actual what's going on over there. Yeah, so they've brought in a driver. They have brought in Hulkenberg. They got him off Martin so far. Yeah, he's out here struggling. Now he's here. What's your expectations? What's the move? They've got money now. They've got money, Graham. They're going to hit the cap. They've actually got money now. This is a different situation to previous years.
So the expectation is actually quite high, because they have Simone Resta, who was the Ferrari guy. This is his first full car with the team. Everything's under his control. They only did one upgrade last year to focus on this year's car that works on the improvements, on the holes of last year's car. This year, they're running at the budget cap, so they should have like new equipment and stuff for pit stops and everything. So there should be no excuses on pit stops still being 4 seconds every race. Hulkenberg is there to come in and lead the team. This is clear that he's supposed to come in, lead the team, drive the team forward. That is Gunther Steiner's words. That's his words.
Are we sure even he's better than Magnussen? What's going on here? How can you come through and lead the team and we're not even sure if you're better than my man?
Well, that's Gunther Steiner's words. He said it on his interview on the F1 podcast. He's supposed to here to drive the team and lead the team forward. From what I've heard from other podcasts was that Haas had a bit of an issue with K-Mag. They thought he was driving down to mixed level, whatever that means. Because if he's done that, that's, you have to sack that guy, because that's not good enough, bruv. But like, that's why I'm there going.
So you're saying K-Mag was driving down.
Wait. Who said this?
Someone at Haas.
Some of the mechanics at Haas. So I believe one of them might be, you know, the Japanese guy, Komatsu. He might be one of them, believing on that.
Allegedly. I don't have money for a lawsuit.
I'm not saying Komatsu himself, but let's say, I know that mechanics at Haas and engineers at Haas had said that. This is word from
Is this from your industry plug? Because we know you're in the industry.
But I just listened to other...
I'm a content creator, you hit me. There's no plugs here.
I'm just saying,
like, we know this is Chris, no?
It's the street.
Chris is industry. We forgot about that.
You forgot this is Chris.
So let's get this straight. So Magnussen was driving down to mixed level. Magnussen is not seen as the team leader. Hulkenberg has been brought in to be said team leader.
Yeah.
Even though Hulkenberg was out at F1 and he was on mine so far.
Yes. That is the general consensus of where Haas are at and where they're going to. I believe that this season they're going to be spending more time like working close with Ferrari. So, you know, mechanics are going to be walking into the Ferrari wind tunnel with Ferrari jackets and then leaving with Haas jackets, because that's how it works. Like back in 2018. That's how it works, bro. You go in there.
It can't be real, man.
Come on, Chris.
They're not sharing wind tunnel time, yeah?
Yeah, that's what they did. They shared the same flat factory and stuff. Haas's factory is right next to Ferrari stuff. So all the stuff Ferrari had to close because of the budget cap, Haas just bought it and said, yeah, we'll work from here.
So you're trying to say, so Chris,
this is dodgy. This is closer collusion than AlphaTauri Red Bull.
This is Maranello, yeah? You know, Ferrari HQ. Yeah. Are you trying to tell me Haas somewhere here? You just see Haas.
Yes.
Like, MoneyGram logo. MoneyGram logo on the little side. Like,
they get coffee from the same stand.
You didn't say coffee. Yeah, they think about it.
They get coffee from the same place, bro. It's all next to each other. It's all like this. Like, one day Ferrari, the next day Haas. That's how it works.
So in theory, they should cook.
Crazy.
In theory, they should cook.
The start of last season, how the car was good instantly, like the Ferrari, why they had the same problem as Ferrari.
It was good.
It was
like rapid. They were struggling.
There was a time K-Mag was cooking the Merc.
Yeah.
Lewis on the streets. Battling, Lewis was battling K-Mag. And they were getting cooked.
Yeah, so yeah. It's one of those things where their relationship is very
close. What's the last lineup for next year again? It's Nico, Hulkenberg and...
Hulkenberg and Magnussen. Oh, and Hulkenberg's leading.
And Hulkenberg is leading. Oh, boy.
So, Chris, what is the, like, long-term plan? Because obviously you're telling me that they're sharing quite closely with Ferrari. If Ferrari do well, which I assume they will, because if they've started like how they did last year and they're building on that, they will get some sort of race wins. So we're looking at Haas possibly being up there in the midfield. What's the long-term plan for like Jean Haas and Gunter Steiner and this driver lineup? What are we expecting this season?
So what they're expecting this season is basically to learn how to manage doing simultaneous projects and their infrastructure improvements. So the past couple of years, they just literally just built a car and then upgrades didn't work or they didn't upgrade the car at all. This season is about building a car, funneling a bit more upgrades, but also simultaneously working on next year's car and like working on it all at once, all together. So that's where Haas lies. That's where we're going to be watching Haas. That's where I'm watching Haas. I'm watching their strategy, their pit stops, their car development, all of that. I'm not really watching the drivers and the results. For me, it's watching their processes because that's where we go sit there and go, Gunter Steiner, you're earning your money, not the results. Because if the car's good or whatever, I trust Hulkenberg and Magnussen to do the job. Like, they're certified F1 drivers. That's fine. But it's the rest of the team and the rest of the stuff that I was kind of picking up when watching them closely because, you know, I had invested time in one of the drivers. So it's like, now that I'm watching closely again, to see like, are you guys doing your job? Or did you just scapegoat a kid for your own failures?
Why does it always go back to me? You got some trauma here, bro. I have to go speak to you, man. I've got to speak to you, fam. Oh, my boy, I have to tell you, there's some trauma here, man.
Because it's like, cool, mate. I'm not promising watching AlphaTauri going, oh, these man did Yuki dirty again. Like, you watch these guys here where you're like, is that when I watch Bottas, when I watch Bottas make mistakes for Alfa Romeo, I was there going, I had to watch that guy in 2021, yeah, and watch George and the Williams for this nonsense. You just watch your ops that just go, this is disgusting. So I'm just watching. I'm just paying attention. But
Chris, I got a question for you about Haas. Do you think part of their woes is to do with the owner, Jean Haas, having zero to no interest in this team and been trying to flog them for the last 4 years? Like, I think if someone offered to buy off him for a penny, he would.
The funny thing is, he's now calm because the team makes money. So when it was when the budget cap wasn't a thing, he was trying to flog the team because he was like, I can't afford to keep up. Now that there's a budget cap and now that the team meets the budget cap thanks to like sponsorships and stuff, he's like, this is making money. This works well for Haas Automation, the group as well. So it's like F1, the brand is growing. There's no way that we can just keep it together. So now he's in a good way and he's a bit more invested. Admittedly, he needs to listen to us and learn a bit more about Will because, you know, some of the things he said about some of the races was a bit wrong, but he's invested and all the signs are looking positive for him staying and working in Formula One. Like, he's making money now, so it's like he doesn't really care as much.
All right. So what's your big shout, Chris, for the season?
My big shout would be K-Mag is going to surprise people and really cook. And I think he's going to cook Hulkenberg. That's my thing. I think people...
Woo!
I think that will be the thing. I think Hulkenberg won't be the leader that they thought he'd be.
Are we saying cheeky podium by Magnussen?
Oh, like another, you know how he got the pole in Brazil last year? He's going to get another one of those standout results. He's going to get all the standout results and be the one that shines all the light towards Haas. If the car is all right.
I said Magnussen from McLaren, you know, on the podium and that. Something's going to happen. All right. We'll see what happens with Haas. Before we go, just wanted to get the order of what you think these four teams are going to be. So, JR, I know you already said that Alfa Romeo is going to be top of this little list. But what's your list? Tell me.
So, I think Alfa comes sixth again. I think Williams are dead last. I think Haas are ninth. And I think AlphaTauri are eighth.
Okay, AlphaTauri with a little move up. You get me? Kunle, give us your
agenda.
You have to feed the agenda one. What's your order?
Sauber Alfa Romeo should be the highest.
Yeah.
Actually, no. AlphaTauri, AT should be the highest because I do feel like they might have a better driver lineup than Sauber. The question would be, would they have a better car than Sauber? So between both of them, it should be a toss-up for who would be the highest. I don't know what kind of car Haas would bring, but
it's going to be a Ferrari, isn't it? White Ferrari.
Yeah, monogram Ferrari, no?
Monogram white Ferrari.
Yeah, fair enough. So, you know what? Actually, thinking about it, Haas might be able to cook. They've got two of the most experienced drivers of the crop.
You might be right. So you're putting Haas first out of this list, on top of this list, then Alfa Romeo, right?
Bruh, Williams dead last, actually.
Williams dead last. Williams. Now it's a toss up between Alfa Romeo and AT. Who's going to finish?
You know what? Whatever order they finish in, I would not be surprised. But if Haas produce a decent car that is developed through the year, that they don't stop development 10 races in,
yeah.
If they develop decently, I'm not expecting astronomical development, because obviously they don't have the budget. I would say the team that has the biggest budget of that lot will probably be AlphaTauri, right? Maybe.
No, it's gonna be
Alfa Romeo. Would it be Alfa Romeo? Is Audi money kicking in already?
Yeah, from
slide payments, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Performance, like Klarna, you know the moves.
But yeah, I think okay. Let's okay. No, sorry. I've
been do the order, man. Come on.
Do the order. Yeah. Okay. This is not a suggestion for gambling or anything. But yeah, Haas, Sauber, AT, Williams.
Okay. Cool. Chris, what's your order?
Haas, Alfa Romeo, AT. And Williams, just because I don't rate the AlphaTauri drivers. I think Alfa Romeo slipped back. Although they stopped the development to make this year's car, I reckon their less reliance on Ferrari will come back to haunt them. So,
all right, Kwame, your list.
Williams dead last. All these guys are literally like the same level, honestly. Nine, I'll go Haas. Our reason I'll go Haas ninth mainly is because their strategies, man. I know they've got the far legs now. I know the far legs are kicking in. I know some members are going to be kicking on something. I rate Hulkenberg a lot, Hulkenberg starts back on. I rate K-Mag as well. I think they'll be cooking. But that car will be either very, very good or very, very trash. There's no in between that car. The fact they're putting all their eggs into Ferrari's basket, who as a team themselves, I do not trust, it's Higgy. So, okay. To save face, I'm going to go them ninth because I don't know where it could be.
So, eighth. Williams, Haas, eighth, yep. Is...
Eighth, I'll go 80. I'll go AlphaTauri.
Okay, so faith in 80.
I ain't got faith in them, man. Bro, them man should be where Alpine and McLaren are. I said this before.
Okay,
good. But, I mean, the drive lineup is a good drive lineup. Better than Alfa Romeo's, but that car again and the strategies I cannot trust.
So Alfa Romeo top.
Alfa Romeo top. I do not rate the drivers one bit, both of them. But I feel like the drip feeding from Audi, then be more distance away from Ferrari. And also even this year, they had a good car for the first half of the season. It was just maintaining that car. Now they've got the supply. And I really saw as well, Harry. I feel like they'll be able to be more consistent this year. Last year was the first half of the season, up to Canada, and they dropped off completely. They were getting P5, P6, P7, they dropped off. I don't think they'll drop this year. Even though I don't think Zhao will be getting much points. I think Bottas will carry the team again.
Okay. I'm going Alfa Romeo, Haas, AT and Williams. So we'll see how that falls out. We're going to have like a full predictions podcast. So this ain't our full, you know, this is just for the pod, right? But yeah, thank you guys for coming on. If you are listening and you got this far, please like and subscribe on YouTube and leave a comment. We love your comments. If you're listening on YouTube, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review and some nice comments as well. And follow us on Pit Stop Record on Instagram. And follow us, Pistol Fracker, on TikTok and Twitter. So we'll be back next week. We're going to be doing it weekly from now on. So catch us next week with a new pod. Peace.
Peace.
Brand new season, brand new dawn for Formula One. It's the Bahrain Grand Prix. And it's lights out and away we go.
We are the green, this for my kids.
Network.